Okay. And we are going to get started. I would like to welcome you all to the ABC ballot proposal presentation Q&A session today on Saturday, March 1st, 2026. And I'm going to invite you to join me in a moment of silence, followed by the traditional universal serenity prayer. God or higher power, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Can I invite a volunteer to read Tradition One that's also on the screen here?
That our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on ACA unity.
Thank you, Aaron. Just a few quick announcements. The presentation is being audio recorded tonight. The recording will be made available on the BPC website at acawso.org/BPC. And the transcriptions and captions features are available. Mary Jo, weigh in if there's any issues with that. And I want to welcome you to this evening's session. We'll go over the agenda in a little bit, but as the chair of the ballot prep, as the outgoing chair, let me say that, as the outgoing chair of the ballot prep committee, I'm just really thrilled to have you join us for this evening's session, where we hope to give you the opportunity to ask questions and get answers from proposing groups on 13 of the 29 proposals that we have on this year's ballot, for the sake of helping your groups be better informed as you cast your votes about which of these proposals to advance to the ABC agenda for the ABC coming up in May. And I will hand it over to Tamara P., our board chair, for a quick welcome as well.
Thank you. I welcome you as well. I'm honored that you are all here to discuss these ballots. It's a very important part of our process. This is how we are able to hear the voice of the fellowship. And so I'm really glad that you're here for this question and answer session.
Thank you, Tamara. And we're going to do a quick introduction of the ballot prep committee members. I would like to ask all the ballot prep committee members to raise your digital hands so that people can see you at the top of the list. We have Pam from California, Sue V. Also on the Board of Trustees, joining us from Toronto, Kathleen, joining from California, Tamara, also, you heard from her just now, from South Carolina, and Mary Jo, our organizational historian, resident historian. And I don't have her name added to the list. That was my oversight. Amica is our most recent member of the committee and is also here, if I'm not mistaken. So, welcome, everybody. We are excited to have you here with us for this discussion this evening. And we will be looking to spend about 2 hours together to get your questions answered about the proposals on the list for this evening. Here's a quick overview over our agenda. We'll be looking at the list of proposals that we're submitting. Groups are available for Q&A this evening. We'll go over sort of the general instructions for how we're going to be interacting this evening, and then we'll just dive into questions and answers. So we're hearing from five different groups this evening. Tamara, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to it's not on that screen, but I have point of information. So if you have questions or if you have a question about a point of information, like a factual question that you'd like clarification on, you can ask me in chat. And if I have a point of clarification regarding anything, I will raise my little green check mark, which I will find in a second. Here it is.
Thank you, Tamara. All right, so we're hearing from five different groups, and the way we've grouped the presentations this year is that we have invited groups to answer questions on all their proposals. So we're hearing on 13 proposals this evening and 16 proposals next Saturday, March 7th, from 9 a.m. Eastern to 11 a.m. Eastern. I just want to point out that group Web0815 has opted to join us next Saturday due to the time difference. They would be joining us from Finland, and it's the middle of the night in Finland. So they will be joining us next Saturday instead. Also, I want to point out that IG630 will be joining us in the second hour of our presentation. So we will hold questions for IG630 until after 10 p.m. Eastern time, when they hope to be able to join us. We also have a listing of the proposals on the agenda by topic. So we have two proposals on conference structure, four proposals on literature, five proposals on operations, and finally, three proposals on service structure and governance. And this follows the topic headers that were in the ballot itself. So we're gonna, before we dive into the discussion, we just have a few gentle reminders. This is about how we interact with each other during this presentation. Your question is important. Please show courtesy towards others. Be patient. English is not everyone's primary language. Be mindful of using slang or acronyms. There's a few examples here that might be difficult for non-English speakers to grasp right away. We prefer to use I and me statements. Avoid saying you, they, we. Be honest and clear, yet remain gentle and compassionate. Acknowledge any problem. Focus on the intentions and the solution. Listen and learn. Be willing to be uncomfortable and challenged. And please be mindful. Many here have experienced social and structural inequity, which might affect how they show up in this context. Back to the point of information. So as Tamara had addressed earlier, you can message her with any fact-checking questions or point of information questions. And then those concerns could be raised through the point of information. Otherwise, you're welcome to raise your questions to the proposing group directly. We're going to invite everybody to raise your Zoom hand to speak during Q&A times. Chat is only available with Zoom hosts. Please mute your audio when not speaking and turn off your video if you will be moving around. We're not doing any direct presentation, so we'll have the ballot and the language of the proposals available in the background if it's helpful to the question and answer process. But we're not going to be leaning on slide presentations tonight. And then sort of the reminder, our next Q&A session is next Saturday for the remaining 16 proposals. And with that, I'm going to turn off my screen share. And we can open up the floor for questions and answers. Actually, before we do that, I would like to invite those of you answering questions on behalf of your proposal to raise your digital hands, and we'll do a quick lightning round of introductions before we open up the floor for questions. Okay, we'll start with Christine.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christine B. Connecticut 112 is my sponsoring group, and it's ballot proposal 17.
Thank you, Christine. We're so glad you're here. Veronica?
Hi, good evening. My name is Veronica R. from Illinois 172. I can't remember what number my proposal was. I'm so sorry.
Proposal 10.
Thanks, Mary Jo,
Yeah,
lifesaver.
the two of us are
I'll
here.
be speaking on behalf of Proposal 10 with Mary Jo.
And I will let Mary Jo introduce yourself as well, since you guys are together.
Yes, that's I'm also from Illinois 172, and Veronica and I are here to answer your questions.
Thank you both. And finally, we have Kathy M.
Hi, everyone. My name's Kathy. I am representing Region 2. I have three ballots on the list of proposals. They're basically one is for the laundry list workbook getting conference approval. One is for the conference having financial authority over the literature budget. And the third one is they took one off, so I'm not sure which one it is. So if somebody could refresh my memory, I'd appreciate it. Anyway, I'm glad to be here with you all. Thank you.
You, Kathy. I have
Oh,
just
thanks.
brought our list of proposals up, so maybe that helps.
Okay, conference approval budget for new literature projects, OPPM limit to WSO. Committees, large matters need conference approval. Laundry list workbook for conference approval. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Kathy. Do we have anybody else who would like to introduce themselves at this point? Corbet, go ahead.
My mom died, so I'm super fuzzy, so please help direct me. But is this where we say that we're here for a proposal?
Yes, and I have the list of proposals that your group submitted on the screen share. So
Okay. I'm
you're
Corbet,
with, yeah, go ahead.
part of Region 6 in a group 640 and a member of a meeting California 1656, and members of all of these groups have reviewed these proposals and supported them and have them up for your consideration. Number 2, 4, 5, 9, 16, and I can't see the bottom one. Maybe 25?
29. Let me just.
28 and 29.
Oh, okay, thank you. 28, 29. Thank you. And the chair of Region 6 is also here.
Region
Yeah.
6 chair, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm the Region 6 chair for California, and Corbet let me know about this meeting, and so I just jumped on and ready to see what's going on with the proposals, and questions and answers are welcomed.
Wonderful. Welcome to both of you. Welcome to all. I'm going to stop my screen share here again. And with that, we did not receive any questions in writing on any of the proposals. So we basically have the floor wide open to any questions you would like to raise to any of the proposing groups that are represented here. Please, as we said, raise your digital hand. We will, I don't think we addressed the question of timing, but we do ask you to keep your questions short. I see a hand in the participants bar, but I don't seem to see it on my screen. Not sure. Mary Jo, are you able to see what I'm seeing? It looks like somebody has their hand raised, but I can't see who it is.
There's no hands
I don't
raised.
see anything. Corbet's hand is up now.
Okay. Corbet, would you like to go ahead?
I just have a general question. After this evening, are all of these proposals moving forward to delegate vote at the ABC?
Question. All of these proposals are on the ballot. The ballot was posted, I believe, a couple weeks ago, and it was co posted at the end of January, and the voting is now open with all of these
Oh,
proposals on the voting form.
thank you. Thank you so much.
And the access to the voting form is from the ballot prep committee website as well as from the conference website. If you are looking for your group's ballot, for your if you're you are looking to submit your group's votes on the ballot, you can access that form both from the ballot prep committee website and from the conference website. And all of these proposals are reflected on that ballot voting form.
And when does that close?
April 15th.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Mona, please go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question about number 9 region certification application. So that's one of the Region 6 ones. So the issue just sort of states that an application is a 2-page document, etc. I'm not certain if this is the new proposed method of region certification, or is it a brand new certification protocol? Like, what is the process now, and how is it meant to be changed?
Corbet, Carol, would one of you like to speak to that?
Yes. Can I speak? Okay. I'm Corbet with Region 6, and Carol and I and a group started the region, and the current process is very lengthy, and it took us 2 years. So this 2-page document has the idea of simplifying the process to where a region could have sort of a conditionary certification, and then because it's difficult to review all their documents, that it will allow them to get a website up where they would post their minutes, their bylaws, and their treasurer's reports, so that everyone, all the members, the board, and all the committees that would be interested would have access to review them. And the conditional approval of their application, they would have like a year process. The 2-page would simplify it to where they could be certified or conditionally certified, and then their information would be up for everyone to review. And the criteria hasn't been nailed down as to what they need to maintain their approval, but that was the idea of the 2-page application, just so that it's not a 2-year process that we I almost dropped out of signing up for the region. It was just way too long. So that was the idea. I don't know if Carol has more to add or anyone else.
Thank you, Corbe. We'll go on with Kelly then.
There we go. Thank you, guys. So I have a few questions. So I just do one at a time, right? Or like, I'm not gonna
Let's take
like.
one at a time.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the first thing is on number 17, which is the top of the list. Christine, could you sort of explain? I mean, I guess in like a minute, what you see is the problem right now with I don't know. Is there a committee chair
No.
for literature?
No, and I mean, I'm sure that Tamara would be happy to give some additional information. But what happened when I stepped down 3 years ago as the literature chair is we tried to recruit a new chair and were unable to do so. There is actually a member who stepped up and said he would do it on an interim basis. He had been a literature chair in the past, but that was not accepted. And the board thereafter set up its own literature assessment project with two members of the board and two people who are on different literature subcommittees. So there has been some, as I understand it, ongoing process. In November, there was a report that was made at a regional meeting about literature in development. And then at the January, whatever we're calling quarterly meetings now, there was a presentation made on the issue of fellowship feedback on the Loving Parent Guidebook. The major reason for this ballot proposal is there is no longer a forum where our members can go once a month as they used to and be able to ask questions about literature, nor are there any regular reports that go out to our fellowship. We made monthly reports. We sent them to the board. We posted them on the website, and we held monthly meetings where anybody who in our fellowship could come and ask questions about literature. That is no longer happening. And that accountability is in our OPPM. That's what's supposed to be happening. So I'm not saying that nothing is happening in the literature front, but what I am saying is the transparency and the accountability are not there. And that was one of the major reasons for that ballot proposal. Does that help?
Okay, well, can I from that, can I ask a question then?
Sure.
That's
Did you want me to follow up with some clarification?
no, I'd rather ask a question. I mean, if I
I
can
think
I
it's
ask a
important that
question?
I just clarify that.
And then we'll hear from Tamara.
So first of all, when you said that somebody stepped up to volunteer for it, they weren't accepted. I'm not sh clear how what that is. I mean, I don't. Is that doesn't happen in other committees. The other thing is as you know, we largely are public. I mean, we make most of our income from literature. So it does seem super important for the transparency.
I agree with you
Okay.
wholeheartedly. I think
Thank you.
literature is extremely important for our fellowship, and I think people need to have someone to go to and talk to about literature. The literature committee, when I was chair, met every Monday for an hour. I know now, and Tamara, I'm sure will speak to this, that the Literature Assessment Project says they're working on policies. Now, my question as a member of the fellowship would be, oh, what policies? What policies are you thinking about? What are you looking at? Where are they published? How can I make a comment on them? I can't. That's not possible under the current method of doing business. I will just add one final thing, and that is, as you know, the ballot proposal says, why can't we recruit somebody to be the chair of the literature committee from these hundreds of people who volunteer to be members to help us with literature? There's a whole volunteer interest form. There are lots of names on it, but it is going to take time and energy to go through those names, vet them, call people, see what their qualifications are. But again, as far as I know, and I'm not slamming anybody on the board, they have a full-time board job already. They don't need to be running literature. They shouldn't be running literature. So this is not a slam at all on the work that, Tamara and Sue are doing. But we need a chair, and we need a committee, and we need accountability.
So the
the end.
board is running literature at this point.
May I,
Thank you,
Carol?
Christine. Thank you, Kelly. We'll turn to Tamara now.
Yeah, and so the cadence of communications has changed. We are still doing our annual reports. We're still reporting quarterly. We're updating at every meeting with the fellowship. The literature in development and the literature evaluation teams still meet monthly, so people are able to access it that way. We're meeting individually also with the writing teams, and we agree we need to have a formal chair, but you're right, it takes time. And in the meantime, we're assessing, we're trying to detail all the gaps first and then make sure that they're filled, make sure that all of the writing teams and all of the literature teams have support, ongoing support. So we're just building that. Everyone is welcome to come to any of our meetings, literature assessment project team meetings, or the literature development or literature evaluation. So it may
Oh,
look
Tamara,
like
where are those posted? I was not aware of that, so thank
they're on
you.
the calendar. Yeah,
Th
they're on the
that
calendar.
the meetings are posted? Thank you.
Yeah, they're on the committee's calendar. So yeah. So any questions anyone has at any time, feel free to reach out to me. But everyone is welcome, and
Thank you,
that's all.
Tamara. We'll go to Kathleen next.
Oh, going back to Corbet, on this proposal for shortening and cleaning up the ability to get a region certified. I wanted to find out why can't you put up a website now? And is what this about getting it somehow on the fellowship website or at least link to it available? Could you clarify what you mean by, the need to get a website up so you could post your material, work with each other? That's a little bit foggy for me, what this proposal would change at that level. Thank you.
Hi, thank you for the question. The current process is that a region does not become certified until they've completed a very arduous number, to me, of tasks in their application, which for a region six wound up being 18 pages that had to be resubmitted about five times because various committees would ask more questions. So if a region could be certified, they would that the region doesn't understand the importance of having a website as a focal point for all of the members in their area or that they want to support, that they need a website up. So the ACE, the WSO would not certify a region until they had a website, and then it wouldn't be listed on WSO until they had this two-page application. And it would be the term temporary. Oh my gosh, my brain's not working, but conditional. And but once the let's say let's just name it Region One. Once re let's hypothetically, Region One has a website and it's got its conditional certification, then it would be listed on the ACAWSO website, so all the members would be able to see it and on the ACAWSO, but also all the members would be able to go to it in their area. And people that start a region don't seem to realize the importance of a website. And that was very clear when we started Region Six. People were saying, half of our group said we don't need a website, and half the group recognized the importance of it because of information. You cannot share information without a website. You can't list meetings. You can't list the bylaws. You can't post the business meetings, the treasurer's reports. And then I believe Laura was the chair of the, at that point, there was a regions subcommittee. And I think our application went through. I had five different committees. It went through the regions committee, the member services committee, and the evaluation, and then it went through the board. I mean, so every time it went through another committee, there was a whole series of questions that they all asked. And if it were all on a website, then everyone could just say, "Here, check the website. Everything you need to know is already right there." And then I. Th This is just the reason why the two-page document was there. To me, the most important things for transparency are bylaws, minutes, and the treasurer's reports. And those would all be accessible for all members on the website. And it would be so easy for certification, like official full-time certification. Oh, you don't have your bylaws posted. I'm sorry. Here's your warning. If you don't have that completed by the year mark that we've given you to get it done, we're going to remove you. If you don't have your bylaw, treasurer's reports or your minutes, then you're going to be removed. Does that answer your question? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Corbet. Thank you, Kathleen. We're going to go to Sue E. next.
Hi. First of all, I'm going to start by saying this is the process that we're doing tonight is extremely confusing to somebody who is just, I've already spent a couple hours reading a lot of these, but we're going from one motion to another motion all over the place. It would be much better if we started with one and we asked all the questions that had to do with that one and then move on to another. So that said, I'm back on to number nine. And I want to know where, as a regular member of ACAD, I can go to see the objective process to become an Aregion. And I hope there's a place other than Slack because most people can't get onto Slack.
Okay, hi, I'm Corbet. So in the OPPM, and unfortunately, it changes every time there's a revision, but it's on a page in there, and it's very obscure, but it's in the very back, and
So
it's the region
does that method
certification.
of communication work for a fellowship that goes around the world? I think that's where we need to start. Before we can start saying this group becomes a region and that group becomes a region, we need to have some kind of an objective process that is completely written out and easy to understand and available to anyone who wants to read it. The method of communication, we have such a break here between the top and the bottom that it's almost impossible to communicate. I am trying very hard to understand all of this. I have been in this ACA since 1982. I've been here a long time. I chose not to get involved with service for quite a long time. But now that I am, it means a lot to me that I can see where I'm supposed to go to learn about different things and then follow the rules. I don't want to be guessing. I don't want to be start with one group of people and then go to another group and be pushed around. So, first of all, I'm now involved with the Northeast region, and I am interested in growing that group so that more people can be involved. And for me, I need to know the structure of how it works. I want to know if we're doing all we can do as a region, and I don't know where to go to find out this information. I'm depending on people who've been in the process for a very long time. And that goes against service. We need to be able to go in, learn, do what we can, and then pass it on to someone else. That's what service is all about. So I'm here to learn, but I gotta tell you, I'm really upset right now because within a half an hour, I've been trying to flip through pages and get a bearing so that I can ask intelligent questions. And I'm going to end stop there because it's time for me to stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. We're going to go to Kelly next.
Thank you. So again, looking at the list, my next question is for Proposal 10. When you say a couple things, when you say for all committees, groups, etc., are we talking advisory boards, project teams? Are we talking everything or only the committees that are listed under WSO committees on our website? That's question number one. And number two is who's keeping track of the three-member requirement.
So that would be a question for Veronica and Mary Jo. Is one of you available to answer?
I could. I'll take this one, Mary Jo. Hi, Kelly. Thanks for the question. So, in the spirit, and please correct me, Mary Jo, if I am misspeaking, the spirit of the proposal was for committees and subcommittees.
Okay, so not the advisory groups and all the additional, because it says groups that meet.
Mary Jo,
Let
have
me
I
take,
misspoken?
now let me take that back. It was for committees, subcommittees, and groups, committees, those established both by WSO and the conference.
So not the ones
So it is.
established just by the board? Like,
What are you thinking of in
Let
particular?
me.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Veronica.
Maybe clarifying why we think the proposal was necessary will help answer some of those questions. It seems apparent to our group, those who supported the ballot, that there is committees, subcommittees, groups doing studies, doing work on behalf of the fellowship that was trusted to them on behalf of by the conference, that these groups are largely understaffed and overworked, and that's a problem not just for burnout, but also the fact that there's limited input going into the work that is done and therefore the output. So a low representation is also a concern. Lastly, because we're all volunteers here, the level of volunteering, yes, there are issues in getting the word out, but ultimately, if there is interest in following up with a proposal or a body of work, volunteers should be readily available. And if they are not, and if a committee, group, subcommittee is chronically understaffed, it might just be because there simply isn't interest enough from the wider fellowship to support that work. And being self-sustaining, we believe it is a very important concept to be embodied by the work that is being done on behalf of the fellowship. Otherwise, who is really the pushing for work to be done? So I don't know if Mary Jo, you'd like to add anything.
I'm fine with what you said, and I mean, in reading the WSO analysis, I realized that there are different committees and groups with different tasks and so on, and some of them are more important than others in terms of day-to-day operations and so on, and so we understand, the reticence of the board and committees who gave input into that. It was our idea that perhaps if a committee is put on hiatus, it might, the word was thrown out there, we really need people to make this work, to come back and get something done. Maybe it would generate new volunteers. But most people in the fellowship don't know that any individual committee is down to one, two, three people. We don't get enough information out there about needing more volunteers, I think, is part of it, or maybe not more information in the right way. But another thing that came up in one of my own meetings and talking about this ballot, could a somebody who's down to one, a committee that's down to one or two people, actually ask to be put on hiatus? Well, yes, I think they can, unless they're essential. Nothing can be done without them, so to speak, but then we need more people. I'll pass with that. I don't know if that's helpful.
So I mean, it answered my question about just not the ones that don't have the word committee ending on, like advisory groups and teams and project teams, that so you're not including those. The other part of my question was, who is monitoring that?
That would be to be determined. The delegates would figure that out if they are in favor of this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Veronica and Mary Jo. I will, moving forward, I will go to the question is being asked about navigating through the ballot document itself. I'm hoping that that will help when the need is to reference the actual proposal, and please feel free to ask me to scroll up or down as needed. We will go to our next question from Corbet.
Hi, I wanted to thank Sue for all of her comments regarding the region application and welcome her as being a chair and thank her for being the chair of Region 5, I believe it is. And I would like to support her suggestion that we follow the agenda in the order that it is typed up, and that we would have all of our questions for the first one, which is proposal 17, so that we could be in some sort of orderly fashion, because I agree with her. This is going back and forth, and no one actually was able to respond to her. There was Pam in the chat, but I would like to respond to kind of all that she mentioned, is that part of the reason of a two-page application is that it would be available on the website as a document that could be filled out and submitted, that anyone could go to that page and read the application for a region and understand, and that it would simplify the process and make it easier to find the information. So that's why this proposal was put forth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Corbet. Christine.
Oh, thanks. I just went and looked at the committee calendar. I'm interested in attending the monthly literature meetings that Tamara referred to. I don't see them. I don't know what they're called. It's whatever it is called, it's not obvious on the calendar. So, Tamara, can you tell me what the committee is called and when it meets?
I'll find it for you and post it in the chat here. It's
Thank you so much.
Evaluation and Literature and Development.
No, that's not what I meant, though. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
I meant earlier when I was speaking, I said that the Literature and Development and the Literature Evaluation Committees meet monthly.
I understand
and
that.
And they are right now working with the literature people who are doing the literature work.
But they're not working on the questions of policy, for example, that the Literature Assessment Project is working on. And what I want to know is, are those meetings where you talk about how we're going to look at policy, what policy issues we're going to look at, are those available and open to the membership in general? And it sounds like what you're saying is no.
No, but anybody's welcome to join. They can just ask me or...
But join what?
The Literature Assessment Project team meetings, where we are evaluating all the pieces of literature. The Literature Assessment Project team is the interim chair of literature right now.
And you're saying anybody can join that?
Yeah, sure. Yep. Just
and does
reach
it,
out to me.
Does it produce minutes of its meetings?
We do have minutes.
Are they posted on the website?
No. I don't think so yet.
So just so everybody understands, we need to know what's going on and how to participate.
You need to know. We're working through it, right? We're doing our very best to get there.
I'd like to talk
about the ballots or the proposals.
I'd like to weigh in here and just point us back toward questions and answers about the proposals. We've had a few questions, good questions, valuable questions about overall processes. And I'm glad that we have a forum here to address, to bring up some of those questions. But the point of our being here together is to talk about to get questions answered about the proposals. And we realize that this is a new format. This is the ballot prep committee trying to handle a large amount of information while also facilitating the Q&A function so that members of the fellowship and groups can be as well informed as possible when voting on the ballots. So we are willing to work with you to make sure everybody gets their questions answered in a way that is the most meaningful that possible. Which is why I have started screen sharing the proposals that we're asking about. And I would like to just check in with the group about the suggestion that was made to just go in the order that the proposals are listed on the agenda, where referencing the order by group, by proposing group, where number 17 is at the top of the list. We've already had quite a few questions of on number 17. Do we? I'm gonna remember Kathleen and Aaron, but I want to just get a quick poll from the group, and I'm gonna stop my screen share for that. About does the group as a whole prefer to go along the lines? We're gonna just have questions for one group about all their proposals, and then we're gonna move on to the next group and ask questions about their proposals. Does the group as a whole feel comfortable with that? If you are comfortable with that, please raise your digital hand. I'm seeing 17 out of 31 people raising their hand or flagging agreement in some form or another. Now, please lower your hands. Is anyone opposed to this approach? Jim, would you like to express a minority opinion?
Yeah, sure. My only objection would just be that it seems like it might be hard to sort of modulate the time, and one group might have a lot of questions up front, and then a lot of time to use up, and then no time left for the later questions to be asked or later proposals. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Ken, do you have a minority opinion to express?
Yes, I think I do. So, what this would be in contrast to addressing the proposals as they appear in the printout, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. So it sounds like you're going with the by the group that presented the proposal. And I would look at the order in which the proposals occur in the handout. If I'm mistaken, let me know.
It's a good question, Ken. I am bringing up the list of the proposals on the agenda by proposing group. The ballot prep committee decided to invite the groups by groups rather than by topic because we wanted to impose on the groups to be here on only one of the occasions instead of having to split their time and be here both nights. Right, or
Got it.
both times. And we also heard at the CBM that there might be questions for groups based on the combination of different topics addressed by groups in their proposals. So far, that has not actually come up here tonight, but that was a possibility we just wanted to sort of be mindful of and say, okay, we're going to invite the groups to represent all of the proposals that they submitted because there might be connections that arise out of a conversational approach like that that would otherwise fall short.
Thank you. Yes.
Corbet. Okay, we have an agreement to move forward in the order that the proposals are listed here. I would like to hear from Kathleen and Aaron next. And I do,
Let Erin go first. She hasn't
okay.
spoken yet.
Aaron, go ahead.
Okay, sure. First of all, I want to thank the ballot prep committee for what I can only imagine was a huge task with 29 proposals. I know that's a lot of work, and these are volunteers giving up their time. My question is actually for the committee, considering the 29 proposals, and you can, do what you want, or just hear me out. Has the committee any? Will there be any information that the committee will give? Will there be any recommendations that they will give moving forward about this massive number and how we will handle it in the future? I mean, just what we had to talk about right now speaks to the fact that this was overwhelming for everyone. I pass.
A good question, Erin. I will talk briefly to it, but I really want to keep the focus
Yeah.
on the proposals here.
Agreed.
The ballot prep committee had requested from delegates to approve that any changes to the ballot process will require delegate approval. That motion was approved and passed over the course of the last year. And so moving forward, yes, there are ideas for how to handle this. We are open to suggestions from the fellowship. It through a ballot proposal in the next season, for example, and we have some suggestions ourselves to handle this kind of volume moving forward. For this season, we are trying to be transparent with the fellowship. That's why we did a session at the CBM, sort of an update about the ballot process. And that's why we are trying to be as open and flexible with these Q&A sessions as we can possibly be. Kathleen?
Thank you, Karen. I am one of two people that are not board or former board members that's on the ballot committee. And I want to say that the fact that we have nearly 30 proposals coming in means that there is a need for the fellowship to have more diverse opportunities to work with the independent intergroups. And they were set up to do that originally. I'm surprised to hear that. That the regions think that they need to have prior approval and go through all these hoops when intergroups ought to form regions. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff to be worked through here that isn't, no conference has ever approved or passed judgment on. It's all coming from top down. And that fact that we have 30 proposals on the table is a real good indication that there's interest in seeing some revision done to the structural framework that we work within. And without any blame or, egregious pointing of fingers at any of the people that are all committing themselves to serve, because they really are a wonderful, motivated bunch of human beings. But we have some structural issues that I, for one, have been very much a proponent of making some broader forum available for just revising the whole structure of the WSO and its components that isn't run from the top down, requiring the seven kinds of approval before you can do anything and then you find out you can't. That's been perennial. I've been involved in this fellowship since 1984. So I want to just say, thank you so much for being here and for sharing. And I think we're going to make some real progress because we are doing that finally as a fellowship in the forum that really does belong to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Sue.
Yes, thank you for putting all this together. My question has to do with Proposal One, and I was just curious, instead of opening shops, did the group who organized this motion or ballot proposal
Did they consider trying to brainstorm how we can get better contributions through Zoom meetings? That seems to be an area that's very tough.
Thank you, Sue. I just want to point out that the representative for proposal number one from IG 630 isn't going to be able to join us until after the top of the hour. So let's hold on to that question and come back to it when Stefan is able to join us. Pam.
Yeah, well, I think we took a vote that said let's go from the top down, and I understand that Stefan is not going to be here till the top of the hour, which is 5 minutes from now. So can we finish up on proposal 17 if there are any other questions, and then go on to proposal 10? And can we, Karen, if you're willing to just introduce each one of those proposals and field the questions? Or call on people. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. So we've had questions on Proposal 17. Do we have any other follow-up questions on Proposal 17 about the Literature Committee chairs? Not seeing any hands. Do we have any follow-up questions on the three-member requirement for all committees, groups, etc.? That would be proposal number 10. Mary Jo.
Just want to clarify something that we expect that the board would monitor the number of participants in committees that are committee for committees of the board, and then and committees, subcommittees, and whatever, and that the conference would monitor it for any conference committees when we whenever we have them, or any studies that are created by the conference. Pass with that.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Veronica.
Hi. Yeah, I also would like to point out that the title of the ballot is somewhat not in sync with what the proposal says. I think it's important to note that we did not think of passing a universal three-member rule. That's something we worked through as we wrote the proposal, and it just might not have gotten changed in the title. But we really want to support each group, subcommittee, whatever work group, to define its own membership needs, and that be that they put their own threshold, assess and determine how many people they need to be efficient and effective.
Thank you, Veronica. I'm going to call on Amica first. Kelly has spoken a few times.
Thank you. Well, it's interesting on the one for three. I do wonder if the way that it's written, just as the groups is in there, that it does lend itself that it could be, and is this by accident or by intent? But isn't there a possibility it could be just for any group, any meeting group? You're saying there's is it you don't think there could be any confusion about that? I'm wondering, just something I'm thinking of. So I don't know. What is interesting, I would never want to make a rule for the groups, but it's interesting about the three. It's related to a lot of other things. Maybe it's for another time because there's questions, but that's what I've been going for as far as for our internet, on the internet, for our each of our meetings, that we have a minimum of three that are willing to make a commitment to one another and to their home group meeting for 3 months each. And it is interesting seeing it here. So yeah, I appreciate it. I'll leave that. I don't know that I can I saw you nodding your head, so I guess that's the question there I had about I don't know about the confusion for anyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Amica. Veronica, Mary Jo, would one of you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I'm really glad that Veronica pointed that out, that I didn't notice that it had the wrong sort of name for the proposal. There was never any intent that it would go beyond committees or work groups or anything like that. It had nothing to do with meetings. And the three member requirement, when we rewrote it, we took out the three, I think. And so it didn't get translated. So
And I, just to add to what Mary Jo is saying, it was not on purpose that we like used vague language to describe committees, subcommittees, groups, etc. There's just so many types of work groups, and there's a word limit to the proposals themselves. We would have exhausted our limit if we were to have listed all the types of groups that this might apply to, but the idea is that any group of ACA members getting together to work on something that the fellowship has shown an interest in or has requested, that this apply to them.
thank you both. Kelly.
I was just going to request that we stick with the format that I heard you guys express, which is questions. I mean, when you opened up for this proposal, again, both Mary Jo and Veronica spoke to the proposal as opposed to waiting for questions, which wasn't my understanding of the format. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. We are going to back up. I saw that Stefan has been able to join us. Welcome, Stefan. And we do have a question regarding proposal number one on the WSO SHOP committee. Sue, could I have you speak up and repeat your question for Stefan?
Thank you, Stefan. I'm just curious, before we get involved with shops and selling paraphernalia, have we looked into increasing contributions in Zoom meetings? Because that is an area that is really tricky. There's a lot of transient people that go to a lot of different meetings, and sometimes those contributions are lower. What did you consider before making this ballot proposal?
That's that has nothing to do with with the ballot proposal. That's been something that a lot of people have been working on for a long time. Different requests for increase in Seven Tradition and stuff like that. So that was really not my focus. My focus was an alternate way. For 50 years, we've been relying on the Seven Tradition, and these days, with that money is so tight that it's just in my proposal. There, my group's proposal is just an alternate way to increase funding so that we can continue to do the work that we're doing.
Thank you, Stefan. Thank you, Sue. Do we have any other questions for Stefan? Amica.
Yeah. Hi, Stefan. I have all my stuff pulled up. I was doing some, this is one that I was on months ago. So to pull up all the various comments and concepts and bylaws and everything. But well, obviously you're in favor of it. So I just wonder though, one of the things that I would bring up in my first thoughts is that since we do not have, and I think this affects everything, since we really do not have the tiers of the upside down, the inverted pyramid, and the fellowship, as it were, and all the various levels of like a GSR, the district, the area committees, and then that those members are all meeting all the time throughout the year. So to get to the point on this, one in the end, the way my understanding is, if the board, if the board or the business end of things, right, the legal entity and whatnot, if they're not going along with what the members, the actual, the fellowship, in the end, the only thing that is, it all relies on finances that the members stop contributing. And again, that's that self-supporting through our own contribution, not through merchandise sales and all the other areas that that goes into with merchandise sales. And that, so it's a, yet another, like, it's giving this revenue stream that actually doesn't show up in whose work, what work and work we do, right? That's where I'm going, because if the contributions are there through self-supporting, through the members in the meetings, and there are people recovering, then that's the program's working. And okay, now if it's just we can
Good. Do
sell a
you have
lot
a
of books,
question?
yes, and we can sell a lot of merchandise. So I'm asking about your thoughts on this, that consideration on all those things. Like you want to go for that revenue. Anything there. Thank you.
One of my thoughts by increasing the revenue with stuff, and I'm not talking about jewelry, I'm not talking about all the stuff that's on a on the Serenity Shop stuff. Yeah. But just starting with things that we use, like, a lot of meetings use book bags to take the binders back and forth, the tent cards, or just stuff that a meeting can use first and then see how it goes. My view is the less we rely on Severn tradition, which has been failing, the more we can actually provide. The less we need the Severn tradition. That's what I want to say, is the more we can provide for people who have no money. So, so now if I'm not, I can feel less guilty not putting in $5 or $1 or 50 cents into the Seventh Tradition basket, because what I'm involved in is more self-sustaining, But like I said, I'm not talking about, everybody running around with ACA hats or whatever, but a lot of us do have that stuff left out from camps and whatever, And there's also things like, I did get this from the Serenity Shop. I don't know if you can see it, but it's got a little bear and it says one day at a time. And it's a coin holder for all my chips, which, by the way, I'm getting my 9-year token in just a month. So I'm excited. Yay.
You, Stefan, and congratulations.
Thank
I'm going
you.
to call on Aaron. Do
Okay.
you have a question for Stefan?
I do. Thank you, Stefan. Thank you for even thinking about how to raise funds for the fellowship, because we are one of the fellowships that kind of is low in that area. Has your group looked at how is the teddy bears that we do sell now, the teddy bears, the bookmarkers, even the coins, like how well do they sell so that we would have a sense of whether or not it would be profitable? Because I'm just thinking about some literature that went out that didn't really come back to help profit us. And then I also want to just mention, because people are here, like I think share days and events tend to sell more things, and that even that research, like, is where would things sell best as opposed to putting things on the website. We just had a fundraising thing for our one day share a day, and we raised over $2,000 again this year for WSO. So there's my question, though. Thank you.
All right. Well, last I talked to Bill about it, and I am blessed to live in Southern California, so I get to go down and do a lot of service down there. So next time you hand out a welcome chip or anything like that, there's a really good chance that I put love into it. So, but last time I talked to Bill, he said that they're doing fine. He didn't give me any numbers or anything like that. But if you look over my shoulder, I don't know if you can see it on my camera. There, I got three bears up there. One is actually my granddaughter's that I save from the dog, and I personally bought two others that I've given out to fellow travelers, and so the bears are really cool. I also buy a lot of the bookmarks to give out to people. I like to give those out as opposed to in my home meeting, as opposed to welcome chips, because we can't afford to do chips. We're a small meeting, so things like that I really, I don't know. Am I going anywhere near your question, or am I losing it? Because
I'm not
this is my
sure. I'm
second
really,
meeting in a row.
Yeah. Oh, understood. Thank you. I know this is my third one today. And so, my question really is, has there been enough research to find out if it would be profitable given the things that we already have?
No, and that, and in my in my group's proposal is to form a committee to look into that. We're not really able to get a lot of the information ourselves, but if we form a committee to look into, okay, well, book bags with the ACA logo are this much. Book covers, because there's still a lot of people who want to remain anonymous. So a one of those book paper covers like we had in high school with just a bear on the front, that maintained anonymity, and they can walk through any their whole family with it. Stuff like that, just stuff that is related to the ACA. We can start with just expanding the stuff that's already on the website, and then if it does turn out to be a revenue base, I forgot to go get it for this meeting, but one of my favorite coffee mugs in the morning is one I got at camp that has "We will learn to play and have fun in our lives." So coffee mugs with this with the promises on it is a great way to start the day, but that's neither here or there. We gotta, the intent of the ballot, the intent of the proposal was to form a committee to look into that stuff and to see if it's actually possible, whether it's within the WSO guidelines, whether it's all that stuff. And I'm losing my voice, I'm sorry. So
No, that's okay. I was just thinking that, that to me is the stuff that could be researched before a ballot is brought because we do have 29. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's the topic of the actual proposal, Erin. I think there's some interesting thinking there, but we really want to stick to the proposals for today. So thank you, Stefan. Thank you, Erin. Kelly, do you have a question for Stefan?
yeah, just it does say in our bylaws that ACA WSL shall be primarily supported by the voluntary contributions of its members. So primarily, I mean, I think I heard you say that we wouldn't have to rely so much on seventh tradition contributions. So I mean, are you aware that it says that in the bylaws and
I'm
how
totally
that.
aware that it says that in the bylaws, but I'm also totally aware that the seventh tradition has been a shortfall by a lot. I mean, I think what until we had a last minute rush last year, at the end of last year, we were almost 25% down. So, if we're losing money, how can we continue the work? And we can't rob anybody. We can't force anybody at a meeting at gunpoint.
You sort of interrupted me. I'm just. I mean.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I guess my point is, we also can't just ignore what the bylaws say.
No, but we can change the bylaws.
Focus on questions that we may have for Region 2. We have three proposals on the list here from Region 2. The one is conference approve budget for new literature projects. That's number six. The next one is OPPM limit to WSO committees. Large matters need conference approval. That's number seven. And then the laundry lists workbook for conference approval. That would be number 18. Do we have any questions for Region 2? Let's start with proposal number six. Christine.
Thank you. Yes, my question is, have you evaluated any budget for any new literature project? As when I have been involved in two of them, there is no budget. We don't have one. Eventually, we did hire someone to do some formatting for us, but for one of our projects, that was even done in-house. So I'm not clear what it is you think the delegates might be approving. Please explain.
Thank you, Christine. Kathy, Carol, would you like to weigh in?
Thank you, Christine. So basically, what this proposal focuses on is getting conference approval as opposed to the WSO working with the budget. It actually should be in the hands of the conference. And as far as the budget, that's something that's beyond the scope of this proposal.
Thank you, Kathy. Do we have any other questions for Kathy on proposal number six?
Hi, you.
Stefan, we are using digital hands, so maybe he was not responding to my question. Do we have any questions about proposal number seven? Kelly?
Hi. Would this committee or this group are they thinking? Because I mean, yeah, I like this proposal. It does. I mean, we know Concept Six states that traditionally the conference has final approval on large matters of policy and finance. Would this proposer be open to sort of the idea that the conference is the one to decide whether it is a large matter of policy or finance? In other words, you'd have to back it up to not just do they need approval, but who decides what is large policy and finance? I see sort of a difference there. Thank you.
Kathy,
I
Carol,
think
would one of
that
you
would
like to
be.
weigh in?
Okay, so this includes new literature, changes to existing literature, changes to service structure. It draws a clear line between internal WSO operations and fellowship-wide authority, the conference. So that wouldn't really be up to me as an individual. It would be up to the fellowship and the conference.
Yeah, okay, because I think the analysis pretty much was like from the board was like, well, it's kind of some things, are so I guess my question is, could it be up to the conference to decide whether it's a large matter of policy and finance? Thank you.
Yes, I would think. Yes, I think it should be.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Kathy. Christine, you have a question about this proposal,
Yes,
Proposal
I.
seven?
Thank you. I believe that there is another ballot proposal that asks a document to be written that would explain what are large matters of policy and finance. And that being the case, it would strike me that that ought to happen before, or perhaps, yes, if that happens, you don't need this ballot proposal. Right? Do you agree with that?
If the conference decides, yes.
I believe there's a, correct me if I'm wrong, Karin, I think there's a separate ballot proposal that asks for drawing up a document that would define what large matters of policy and finance are, in which case this particular proposal would be irrelevant, would not be needed.
That proposal would be on the agenda for next week's
Okay.
discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Amica?
All right. It may not be the time. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot because I didn't get all my docs in order or anything. But if I just, there really are, I think, some fundamental issues, myself included. And there are changes, certain changes that ACA has made. And we do have our OPPM. I've been trying to read all that. But this whole who has final approval, it's like, I guess if I can get to a question real quick, Kathy, it's okay if not, but if I look at concept seven, if I can just pick that one out quickly, it's like The conference recognizes that the charter and bylaws, well, I don't want to read this one here, but in the business end of things, this is where I'm kind of on the other side of it. It's like, sure, the charter and the fellowship, if we do ever actually get it really organized, it is not a legal instrument, but it is supposed to be the way the concepts are set up, that yes, we say, okay, this is what we like to do, but they knew that there's no way that the fellowship can micromanage the dollars and cents and the contracts and the legal aspect of everything. So that's where we're mixing things up. I don't know. I just want to hear if you all have considered these things.
Question, Amica.
Pardon, did you want me to restate?
Yes.
If you have considered something, if I have to be quick, concept seven, the aspect of kind of like what was asked before, how in the world would anything actually get done as far as that is why we do have, that is why it is, there is a separate legal entity that is a business, it really is in charge of those things. And that's why we can have the professionals, some of them can get hired, even though a lot of it's volunteers. So I'm saying, have you all considered this, like what the effect would be?
Okay. Let's see. Do you want to weigh in?
Sorry, I muted my dogs. The WSO is in charge of the operations of the WSO. And everything else, large, it would be large matters. And those things, like I said before, includes new literature, changes to existing literature, changes to service structure. So WSO should be in charge of the internal day-to-day operations. But the conference, the fellowship, ultimately has the authority according to the concepts and the traditions. Does
Thank you,
that answer
Kathy.
your
I'm
question?
just, I
Okay.
guess what I'm saying, man, maybe it's for another time. I'm sorry, Carol, I'll move on. There is, in
I think
theory,
we
there is,
really
but
do need to move on, Amica. I'm sorry to cut you off.
there is no fellowship that is a cohesive unit that are together throughout the year and voting and working together, at this point, I guess, is one of the things. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going
Thank you,
to
Amica.
respond to that and just say there
Okay.
are systemic issues happening, and all I'm doing by bringing these proposals to our whole fellowship as a whole is because there are things like literature being sold without conference approval. And this at the fellowship level makes, and I've noticed this in the past year, makes it very confusing for newcomers. And this has gone up, I'm going to say, exponentially over the past year. I go to several meetings, one at least a day, sometimes two. And the questions from newcomers, where do I start? There's so much literature almost at every meeting when newcomer questions come up. That's the basis. Just, the WSO should do its daily operations. They can make their money, whatever, but ultimately, and they are making most of the money through the literature, by the way. Ultimately, the decisions of conference-approved literature need to be passed by the conference. That's part of our fellowship. That's like a major point to our fellowship is conference-approved literature. I do think these things have a tendency to work themselves out through the group conscience. And that's it. Thank you for your question,
Thank you,
Amica.
Kathy.
Karen, if I could just add a quick clarification.
Sure.
Almost like 99% of the literature that we've done has been at the direction of the conference, not the new conference that we're going to build, but the conferences. So the fellowship has directed that to us.
Thank you,
So
Tamara.
the literature has conference-approved stamps on it that have been, and they're in the Book of Motions, that it's this certain piece of literature has been conference approved. So
Has been
there's
directed to be
books,
written, has been
right?
directed to be written by the conference. Yes.
Okay, so I've looked through the Book of Motions, and I did do one for the traits workbook, which I'm not putting down the content of the book, but it's not conference approved, and there are other literature that is not conference approved. I can't find it in the Book of Motions, and I downloaded them all, and there's quite a few missing actually. So maybe they're in there. I don't know. But in to be transparent, like I can't find in the Book of Motions,
There's a
where
lot of
there's.
motions out there. We are actually working on a book of motions that is specific to literature, and we'll post that when that's ready.
Okay,
But yes, it's confusing. The book of motions is big, big
Can I
thing.
ask you why the trait workbook was never conference approved?
Can
I'm not
we
sure. We should
redirect our
focus on the
attention to the
proposals.
proposals, please? I think we're getting
Okay.
we're
Just
going down a rabbit
that's been
hole
around
here.
for quite a while. So, okay. Thank you. Thank you for redirecting me, Karen. Corbet.
Hi. Just kind of a point of something that we have 9 proposals left, and I believe 32 minutes, which would be about 3 minutes each proposal. Thank you.
Okay, well,
Thank you,
I'm
Corbin.
finished unless someone else has a question.
We have one more proposal from Region 2, which is Proposal 18.
When you're showing
Bear
the
with
wrong
me while.
list.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me?
This is
I
a
think
different list than
this is a
the other
different
one.
list.
List.
This is
Can you
a.
all see? Can you all see the
We're seeing conference structure proposal 28 on the top of the list.
I don't see
No.
region two.
Oh. My apologies.
Well,
You.
the proposal 18 was the laundry list workbook for conference approval.
Yes.
That's it. You got it. Good job.
Thanks.
Are you seeing it when I'm sharing the proposals?
Yes, you've got the right one. Perfect.
Yes.
Are
Thank you,
you see
Karen.
are
Thank
you
you,
seeing the
everyone.
text of the proposal document?
Oh, no, Karen, we're not.
Okay.
Just the list.
Okay, then I have to update my screen share.
It seems to be in the, yeah.
There it is.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought I was sharing it, but it wasn't showing. Technical issues. So do we have any questions about the laundry list workbook for conference approval? Christine.
I'm told by Greg R. I think he was the chair of the ABC in Austin where this document was approved. It doesn't seem to have made it into the minutes. He is checking his notes of the meeting to see if he can find the notes, but he is clear that Larry A. presented the book at the conference in Austin and that it was approved.
Can we have a point of information,
It's
Karen,
not
about
stamped
this? We
conference
have
approved.
history.
I believe Christine is talking about the traits book now and not the proposal before us. And the traits book is not a proposal we're discussing tonight. Is that
Traits
correct?
book, that's the laundry list is the
Proposal, the laundry
traits.
list
Sorry.
My bad, my bad, my bad, my bad.
Okay,
Region,
thank
kick
you.
it back. Sorry.
The laundry list is the traits book.
So back to Christine. This proposal is about the laundry list's workbook. Is that the workbook that you were referencing based on the information from Greg R?
Yes, the
Okay.
laundry list workshop workbook, I believe, is not the yellow workbook,
No.
right? Exactly. Yeah, I am.
Karen, we have some clarification about this.
Okay,
Where this will
Tamara, go
fit.
ahead.
I'm going to let Sue speak to this. Not Sue-E, Sue-V.
Okay. Hi, everybody. We're preparing a list, so it will get posted, but there is a motion on the laundry list workbook. It's 2014 ABC. It was done, as Christine said, and it was done according to the literature policy at the time. Now, in 2020, there was a new fellowship review and conference approval literature policy that was approved with this new logo called conference approval. It didn't exist prior to 2021. And the first book that will use this new logo will be the LPG. It's never been determined by anyone, the board or the ABC, to go back in time and put a new logo on everything. So that could be something that's looked at in future. But right now we are compliant with the OPPM and the directions of the delegates at the all the ABCs up till now. Thanks.
Thank you,
Thank
Sue.
you,
I
Sue.
found the proposal asking WSO to develop literature for the laundry list workbook. That was in 2014. So there was a proposal passed to start the development, but I couldn't find one that said conference approval. Thank you.
And not, yeah, thank you. And if I may, Karen, if I
You
may
hear me?
just,
I said go ahead.
yeah, I'll just clarify. I absolutely think that that's a great idea, and that's what's going to happen starting in 2021 and all the future years ahead. It didn't exist prior to 2021. So the way they did it in those days is they got approval and for the book, which they did for the laundry list workbook. They went off and developed it, and then they sold it. That was the process at the time. Yeah, so thanks. I just wanted to clarify it.
So you're clarifying that it was done without conference approval, right?
No, I'm clarifying that the policy to do these things was to approve the initial development at the ABC. I wasn't there. Okay. I haven't, I've only started in on the board in 2021. So in those days, that's the way they did it. And now we're in a different year, different decade. So we will be posting a list with all the ABC motions on all of the literature so that we can have clarity on this. And we're working on it now. Thanks.
That would be good. I would really like to see some clarity on that. I just pulled that one out because it went back so far.
Yeah, and
Okay.
I appreciate it. Good conversation.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you both. I would at this point like to move on to proposals from Region 6, Corbet. We are starting with proposal number 2. I also see, Pam, you have your hand raised. Is that about process or is that a question
Well,
pertaining
it
to?
was a question for Kathy, but you've moved on. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Pam. Automatic enrollment in literature discount. Do we have any questions for Corbet about this proposal? Sue.
Hi. I just wanted to know if, when you came up with this proposal, you figured out the most bang for the buck as far as how the discounts work, and do you feel that your proposal follows the best structure? That's pretty much what I'm, the WS, I'm still new to this, so I'm still learning. I just want to know a little background on this proposal.
Thank you, Sue. Corbet?
I'm not sure I understand the question, but the only way for a region or intergroup to receive a discount for literature is to become a conference-approved entity, a region or an intergroup. And then after that process, which can be lengthy, then there's a second application required by the literature office that's in California, another application. And that also has to be processed. So the time is lengthy before a region or an intergroup can get a discount. But it seems that once an intergroup or region is approved by the WSO, it could be an automatic, yes, we're approved for the literature discount. As soon as a region or an intergroup got a number like Region 6 or Intergroup 10 or whatever, then the office in California would know, oh, they're conference approved. Or, I mean, they're approved and they automatically get the discount. Does that answer your question?
Sort of. I think this is like a chain of events. So we're back to the how do we become a region? And what's to stop an individual by wanting to start a region and an intergroup just so they can get discounts? Although we want people to have the literature. So I'm just trying to get the idea of the whole concept behind this. And it's hard because I don't do it on a daily basis like you guys do.
Okay, and also just so you know, literature is heavy, so and it's also tacked. So 30% sounds like a great discount, but after you tack on, it's about 10% for tax that, and then 10% for shipping. The discount that a person gets with a region or an intergroup is only about 10%. So it's not a lot that we're talking about, but yeah, I don't. The amount of work that it takes to become a region, I mean, an intergroup was a lot easier, but I can't see a person trying to rip off WSO to get their literature discount. And then what are they going to do with a bunch of red books? I mean, I don't see those being like a real hot topic except in a meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Corbet. Amica?
I'll try to be quick. All right. I know. Corbet, can you comment on just a brief one, if possible? So for me, I don't necessarily believe that it should be at the drop of a hat to be declared a region. Now, there's the other conversation about internet-only web IDs, and it goes into the whole thing about the structure, right? So I'm with you in a bigger picture, but that proposal, I don't know. But along with this one, okay, have you all talked about? Again, my interest too is the web. Everybody keeps talking about hard copies, and the discount and the shipping. I don't. Are we? We're on the computers. We're on PDFs, and you can fire them out. So I'm more along the lines. And have you all talked about it? No discounts. Plus, you said it's not that much. So all this trouble and all the ballot and everything for it. It's like so. If we want people to get the literature, fire them out PDFs, and then work it out with WSO. That okay. If that's a little bit, that's where that 30% goes, is towards firing out PDFs and there is no shipping. Did you all talk about that? Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're real. I mean, I hate to be ageist, but the people under, I don't know, 30 or 40, they're going to be interested in the digital. And the people over, like myself, want a hardcover. I mean, a book. I want something to, anyway. When I'm in a meeting with a newcomer, they typically ask for a book and they want to take it home. And I haven't had, we've, so, okay, I'll give you an example. And this might be a little bit controversial, but it's speaking to the digital aspect. So, when you're in a meeting and we wanted to do the Tony A book, and because it's out of print, we were forced to do digital. So, we were really excited about it. And we called the office and said, is it okay for us to do a meeting? And they said, yes, we have an open literature policy and we use the Tony A book, which is called the laundry list. So we had 10 people in the room and every single copy that was digital came in a different type. You guys can help me, but there was the bookstore version, there was Google, there was Prime, there was whatever. And every single one had a different page format. So we spent 20 minutes in the meeting just getting everybody on the same page. So one reason that it didn't work to do the digital, and if you had sponsees and you were both with digital, you'd be spending time finding your page together a lot. So a hard copy has just been the format that we've been using in meetings. So yeah, people are interested in starting regions and intergroups, and worldwide, on the worldwide level, a lot of people can't afford a digital thing, and honestly, they can't afford a big book either. So we're looking. I think the whatever the powers that be in the literature group are trying to put together a smaller, much smaller book than 700 pages or whatever it is, to be more affordable to the really poor regions. So thank you for your question, Amica. And it's far more complicated than probably any of us know. And we're just trying to chip away at it and simplify it. If a region or an intergroup does want to buy some literature, that they would at least get a little discount without so much work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amica. Thank you, Corbe. Gretchen,
Hey,
question?
hi, I'm Gretchen. I am a frustrated adult child. I work with Intergroup Connecticut. I work with regions, and I work with the region with a third meeting. And I know that I can order from my intergroup or from my region $100 worth of books or 200 or 14, and they will get the 30% discount, and I will get my shipping free. That gives my intergroup and my region my support for that $10 and a $100 order or whatever. I am a bit surprised that someone can be registered and approved and put on the books as a region and still have to go through another process to obtain the ability to order books. Books, because we're Zoom, are much more difficult to get now. It was different when we could go to a meeting and pick up a book, and that's just not happening as much now. I need a book. I want a book for every piece of literature in my recovery 12-step program. I do not understand, did not understand until I read this proposal that a region would have to be approved and then have to go back and ask for additional certification to be able to sell literature at 30% discount, which is our means, ours meaning ACA's means of giving support to our regions and to our intergroups. And I must say that our regions are flailing. They are not getting the support from our members or from WSO, in my opinion. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Gretchen. Corbe, would you like to respond to that?
Was there a question? I think what she said was great. Thank you.
Okay. Pam?
And I'm not really the person who should be saying this, but I understand the WSO recently had to do a cease and desist letter for somebody online that was selling books for more than WSO was, because they didn't have to, or they didn't go through this process, or somebody who had been through this process and got the books at a discount was no longer with that region or intergroup or whatever it was. So, I mean, WSO does have a fiduciary right and responsibility to know who they're sending the books to. And that has to be certified or at least justified by whichever group it is as to who they're sending those books to.
Into debate here, Pam. Do you have a question?
So I guess I would like to know if Corbe has talked to WSO about this.
I think more you're saying that there could be some abuse, and I support that we don't want abuse, but so let's just take our region. We had a 2-year application process, and then we were certified and became Region 6, and there was a contact person, and anyone in the WSO office in California could go online and see, oh, Region 6 is registered, and Carol's the chair and the contact person, they are legit. And they that there that could be their certification. That we don't need another one-page application and another processing period of a month or two until we would be get our code and be able to purchase a book at the discount. That's all I'm trying to do is streamline the process out after we've already spent two years getting approved, that we have to wait another 6 to 8 months. We have to another application, and then they're mailed, and we have to order anyway. Thank you. I agree with you, and I think we have covered that in our proposal.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Corbet. I am going to actually switch screens. Bear with me a moment.
And just so
And
we know, we have 10 minutes left. So,
we are
we have
50, yeah, we are about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. I want to make sure that we have any questions about any of the Region 6 proposals. That's why I've switched to the list here.
I want to thank everyone for all the work they put in. This is amazing, and I really appreciate that your thoughtfulness in organizing this, and I really appreciate that you got all of our seven on the same day. I thank you so much for that, and appreciate, that it's gone out to the world for a vote, and I love the democracy and support it completely. And thank you all for your service.
Thank you. You have your hand raised?
I did put my hand up and then I took it down. I wanted actually, there was a question that came up in one of my groups about Proposal 29, that all the proposals are first on the ABC agenda, and we wondered how that could even be accomplished. If even a portion of these, like even a third of these proposals, make it onto the agenda.
It could be a logistical nightmare, but I support the democracy, and that there would be the openings. I mean, whoever's on
Stand
the
up.
ABC obviously knows more, the committee that organizes, but that instead of coming last, where it winds up that half of them aren't discussed at all, that that they could be discussed in the beginning, that everyone could be made aware, this is the amount of time, this is the amount of projection needed for all of this, and let the delegates vote how they want to proceed, and that they would prioritize the whole process. And that it's been very disappointing to me, being a delegate pretty much over the last 10 years, that half the proposals are relegated to committees that, as you've said, are only two or three people. So the majority of members aren't even discussing them. I mean, now maybe with some of the court, they're not called QDMs anymore, but the quarter, the other ones, that maybe that is addressed, but I would like to see proposals discussed with a larger venue of delegates rather than two or three committee members. So that's why I'm suggesting they come towards the beginning and can be discussed by the delegates of, which ones they prioritize and how much time that can be given to them. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I sort of have a point of order in a sense. I don't know that any proposals go directly to a committee without the delegates making a motion to send it to a committee. So I'm not sure what that refers to.
I think
Oh,
we are
there's
getting
been.
off topic and talking
Okay.
about sort of specifics of the ballot process and the ABC planning process here.
Okay.
So. Do we have any other question for Corbet based on her proposals? William.
Yeah, I'm curious whether your committee or your region or whoever put this proposal together takes into consideration that the agenda planning committee already sends out a survey to the delegates to choose how to present material at the CBM.
I'm not sure that the delegates were given the option of the proposals at the beginning. The delegates were given an option of which to discuss towards the end. So sort of they would say, we have 3 hours left and we have 15 proposals. What do you want to do? And of course you can't discuss all of them. So
Exactly, and that's why we put the material out to the delegates ahead of time so
there
that we
wasn't
go ahead.
oh go ahead there wasn't the option of the priority was during the agenda. The priority didn't seem to be the proposals to me. There's a lot of, and I you know it might just be there's just way too much business trying to be done in 16 hours, the 2 day ABC. And maybe that'll be addressed now that we have the 3 a year that I'm hoping, because all of it just seems like a lot to do. But yeah, we did take that into consideration. The goal was to have, oh, sorry, to have the proposals discussed by more delegates as opposed to just two or three or whatever, less than 10 committee members. Sorry.
Thank you. Pam?
Yeah, on the proposal to adopt the responsibility declaration, which is kind of it's a lovely thought, but I personally have worked with felons that will kill you as soon as look at you. And if somebody says, "Hey, I want your help," according to this declaration, which is lovely and it's a nice thought, but people who are doing time or have done time will, we have to understand we have boundaries and all of that. And I would like to know if you've even considered, the ramifications of this as far as human safety and as members of our program. Thank you.
Hi, that's a great question. So the responsibility declaration is actually coming out of Alcoholics Anonymous and was approved, I believe, in the 70s. And the idea is a newcomer would come to a meeting, and the idea is that we want the hand of recovery always to be there. And so to be like more specific, if a newcomer's in a meeting, you would just reach out and say, "Hey, do you have a book and a meeting list?" So, of course, we want everyone to be safe, every member in a meeting, and we leave that up to the meetings and the individuals. And this responsibility declaration is just to encourage all of us to pass on what was freely given to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Corbet. Moving back to our overview. We have about 5 minutes left at this point, so I want to see if we have any more questions for Corbet about any of her proposals, her group's proposals. And if not, I want to Sue.
Quickie.
Okay.
I have a quickie. For number four, the literature price increase approved by delegates. Was this the response to, and again, I admit I'm new at this. At another business meeting, there was a lot of conversation about price increases. Was this part of what they came up with as a result of that?
We probably don't have enough time for this one, but currently the board has full authority to price the literature as they see fit and needed to keep operations going. So This was in response to the group, I mean, the board's group feeling that two literature prices in about 3 years, which were the first in 20 years, was acceptable. And I was just putting it out there, wondering if the fellowship agreed and that perhaps if there was some delegate discussion. So I motion to adjourn. It's 3 minutes till. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Corbet. We'll take that as our last question. Again, a reminder, we have another one of these coming up on Saturday, March 7th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And here is the list. The proposals that will be discussed next Saturday are posted on the Ballot Prep Committee webpage. We don't have time for questions about the process. We've touched on some questions being raised about the process. And just as a reminder, voting opens today and will end on April 15th. We really appreciate your participation today, and you're taking the time and having the patience to work through some of the process issues we worked through at the beginning of our meeting. So thank you, all for being here today. Be sure to save chat if there's information in there that you would like to have after the meeting. And feel free to check out the Ballot Prep Committee as a service opportunity. We need all the help we can get. And as a reminder, we are looking for a new committee chair. I am stepping down after the ABC in May. And finally, would somebody like to lead us in the ACA version of the Serenity Prayer?
I can.
Thank you, Stefan.
First, I want to thank you for all your work. But higher power, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me.
Thank you, Stefan. I think this is our last slide. Thank you, everyone. I am officially stopping the recording.